Bring them here to me. This miracle, which is recounted in each of the four Gospels, this miracle is one in which it points to, and it's a preparation for the even greater miracle that Jesus will work in the Eucharist. One of the things I love about this church, and especially its windows, is how the windows on either side, the ones directly across from them, they're theologically tied together, right? So on one side, you have the birth of Jesus in the Nativity, and then on the other side, it's the birth of the church in Pentecost. But then the windows in the way back, which you don't have to try and look, you can see them on your way out, the one side here is the miracle we hear this morning of Jesus feeding the 5,000 families with the multiplication of the fish and the loaves. And on the other side is the Last Supper, where Jesus performs the even greater miracle of feeding them, and through the 12, feeding us with his body and his blood. He goes, in other words, from taking the very little they had had on the hilltop, bring me what you have. He said, feed them yourself. They don't have enough, and they know they don't have enough. Bring them, bring to me then what you have. And what does he do? He takes, he blesses, he breaks, and he gives, which is the exact way that Matthew describes what Jesus does at the Last Supper. He takes, he blesses, he breaks, and he gives. But the miracle that we hear today, Jesus takes the little they have and he multiplies it so that there is more than enough. But the Eucharist is the greater miracle because he takes what is given, what we bring to him, and he transforms it and multiplies it. So with the Eucharist, his one body, the one body of Christ, is taken, and through the hands of the 12, it is given now, not to 5,000 families, but to millions and millions of Catholics across the entire world, from the rising of the sun to its setting, from generation to generation. The one body of Christ is given to us to feed us, to nourish us, not just in body, but in soul. It is the greater miracle, and Jesus is never diminished in the midst of it. And so this gospel, it's one in which it's a preparation for the Eucharist. It's a preparation for that, but it also is something else too. Tied together with that, it's a revelation by Jesus of how grace works in the kingdom of heaven. He has been going over the last weeks through these parables, which he's telling us about. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he's emphasizing, everyone, that the kingdom of heaven is not like the kingdom of man. In the kingdom of man, our fallen world, when what you have is given, you have less of it. And there's certain things that we learn through that, that you got to be careful. You can't give too much. You got to be very savvy about how much you give, and you got to really calculate your way through life a little bit. But he says that the kingdom of heaven is not like the kingdom of man. And he's going through with all these parables, trying to open their hearts, and he's trying to open our hearts and our eyes as well, that what he is establishing is something radically different. He's establishing what God intended from the very beginning, that we would live out of a different law, which is the law of God, the law of caritas, the law of the love of God. That his life might be the thing that fills us and that dictates what we have and what he's able to do through that. It's the arithmetic of grace, which is different than how we calculate things. And so he He's revealing in this gospel, in this miracle, the way in which grace works, the way in which his grace and mercy work. Take an inventory of your life, quick snapshot of it. You've been given much, of course. Now compare that, the inventory of your life, of what you have and what's been handed on to you, compared to what God is asking of you. He speaks to the disciples in the gospel. Feed them yourself. What's their response? We ain't got enough. It ain't even close. And this, in truth, is how we are to see, if we're seeing our life rightly, what we have, how it's completely insufficient compared to what God is asking of us. So what does he ask us to do first? Bring them here to me. Bring what you have, which is insufficient, here to me. And what he does in his grace is he multiplies it. So that through him, when what we have, the little we have, is surrendered into his hands, he is able to transform it and to multiply it in the working of grace. Take another look at your inventory. And I want you to look at that part that you're kind of ignoring a little bit. Not the good stuff, all the blessings and strengths that you have, or even the stuff which is insufficient, like, you know, the little time we have, the little we want to love, but our love is insufficient at times, and our ability to forgive. Look a little bit more to the corner of the stuff that has been handed on to you, that you've been given, that you have no desire to have. Something of the bad hand that you've been dealt. That which has been passed on to you, perhaps from your parents or from the cruelty of the world. Hurts, wounds. What does Jesus want to do with that? He says as well, bring them here to me. But what he works with that is even a greater miracle. Because he works a Eucharistic miracle with that. Bring them here to me. And what he does is he transforms them, and then he multiplies them. He transforms them, and he multiplies them. Just to illustrate what that looks like, there's no place that I can think of right now that really shows this quite like Victor Hugo in his novel Les Misérables. And also, it's an amazing play, the movie that was made. Les Misérables. Who here has ever like read it, seen it? I'm just to get a sense. Oh, people, come on. even if the book is too much, it's one of the greatest Broadway plays. And the movie which came out, I don't know, 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, it's incredible. But what it does is it reveals so much of humanity and God and divine grace. But the main character, Jean Valjean, he's the protagonist in the whole thing. And he is starving himself, and he's desperate and hungry. And not just that, but his sister, his widowed sister, and her 7 children are starving, and they're at the point of starvation itself. And so what does he do? He who, this is the lot that has been handed to him, he goes and, do you remember, he steals a loaf of bread. And for stealing a loaf of bread, he is thrown into prison, where he experiences for 19 years cruelty. And his heart is transformed in the midst of that. What happens to the heart of Jean Valjean? His heart becomes as hardened as the prison walls that surrounded him. Finally, after 19 grueling years, he is released. And what happens? We hear in the novel that he goes door to door trying to find, after he's released, a place in which he's able to stay. But he's a convict now, and he has to carry this yellow card. And every door that he knocks on, he's turned away from. He's rejected. And we hear that as he goes through the town square, he turns to the church, the beautiful church building, and he waves his fist at it. And he sits there defeated in his self-pity and shame. And then this thing happens. This old lady comes out of the church that he was just waving his fist and cursing at. And she comes over to him and she gives him just essentially a few pennies, hardly anything. And she says, "Have you no place to stay?" He's like, "I've knocked on all the doors. Everyone's turned me away." She points, "Have you tried that door?" And she points to the house of the bishop, Bishop Mariel. He goes and he knocks on that door, and right away he hears, "Come in." And the bishop greets him, "My brother." He sits him down right away to his right, and he lays out a great feast for him. He gives him fresh bread, a grand feast. And out of this great kindness, how does Jean Valjean repay the bishop? In the dark of the night, he takes the silver that is in the bishop's residence, puts it in a bag, and he takes off. That morning, the police have Jean Valjean, and they've captured him, and they bring him back to the bishop's residence. And the bishop says, "Oh, Jean, you took off before I could say goodbye. No, that silver is not stolen. That was a gift. But I am a little upset. You did forget the thing that I had given you as well, is these two candlesticks. Jean, please take these candlesticks that they might light your path in life." And something happens through this encounter with God's grace, with his mercy here. Because you see where John's life was heading. He had been dealt a bad hand in this depth of this dire poverty, thrown into prison, his heart had been hardened, and that hurt and that cruelty that he had encountered was now going to multiply to the many different people he was going to encounter the rest of his life. Because hurt people, they hurt people. But this was an encounter with God's mercy and his grace in this bishop, and it began to transform something in Jean Valjean. Not immediately. In fact, he goes right away and he sells the silver, but he always holds on to the candlesticks. In fact, at the very end of the novel, when he's dying, they are lit right next to him, this light that has guided him. But then he steals something from a small child, something very small, and he struck his conscience as he's like, "What a man am I? I have been shown such mercy, and this is what I do." But what happens is he becomes a man who is transformed through his encounter with God's grace and his mercy. And what happens then? Instead of his life being one in which this cruelty and hurt is multiplied, instead, this grace and this mercy becomes multiplied in his life to all these other characters he encounters throughout the novel. From Fatine to her daughter Cosette, to Marius, and even the man who was hunting him and hated him throughout, Javert. This mercy he has been shown in this grace, it's multiplied through the life of Jean Valjean. But why am I telling you all this? Just for the few of you who have read the novel or watched the movie to have a little nostalgia, know, or to encourage you to watch it, it's amazing. It's amazing. I do that. But it's because something of this greater miracle that God works, that Jesus works through his grace and the kingdom of heaven, is so at work in this novel through this character, Valjean. That his mercy becomes multiplied. That there's this Eucharistic pattern that God desires to work through us. Because some of us, we come here and we're carrying, when you look at the inventory of your life, you're carrying little and you're painfully aware of how it's not enough. The imperfect love, the little patience that you have, you're at times half-hearted forgiveness. What does Jesus say? He says, "Bring that, as imperfect as it is, to me. Bring it to me," and he multiplies it. The good that is in you, even though insufficient, he will multiply it. What about the bad that's in you? What about the things that you never asked to carry, but what has been handed on to you and threatens to separate you from the love of God? Which, what are the things that separate us from the love of God threaten to? They threaten to. It's the hurts. It's the pain. It's the sin that's been caused to you, caused and thrown upon you, and that you've committed. But Jesus, Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, because what does he desire us to do? He says, bring them here to me. That they become not something that separates you from me, but draws you closer to me. Because he takes them, and he transforms them, and he transforms us. That what might multiply through you is not generational pain and hurt from father to son to next generation, but instead might be the working of his grace. That might be multiplied in everyone you encounter and from generation to generation. That your wounds might become instead transformed into these deep fountains of compassion and healing. That those areas of poverty within you and deep want and loneliness, that those might be transformed into a heart of magnanimous generosity. And that the forgiven sin that you have and that you bring to Jesus and it's forgiven, that might be transformed into a mercy that all those who encounter you encounter as well, and it becomes multiplied within them. Hurt people hurt people, but healed people, they heal people. And Jesus says all of this, your insufficiency, the little that you possess, as well as the hurts that you never asked to carry, bring them here to me. Place them within my hands and upon this altar, that like the Eucharist we receive, they and you might be transformed, and his grace through you might be multiplied from generation to generation.